here we go. Hey,
oh, here we go.
Hey, hello, hello.
Whoa, there's people everywhere.
Yeah, we got people in the tap room. So one being my daughter.
Nice. You got like IT support then?
Yeah. She's telling me what to do. So I lost my mojo with IT a long time ago. So.
Oh, fair enough. Do you want to ask her opinion on whether we should let read.ai into our meeting?
Should we let read.ai into our meeting?
No.
Who's that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you're at a brewery, so does that mean you've got a beer?
I do. I've got Hera Haze, obviously. So our latest Hazy, so NZ Hazy. So it's our second time we brewed it. We brewed it last year, and it's was our quickest selling Hazy. Beat Cloudscapes in sales and how fast it sold. So we brought it back. So, and I've got another couple of people in the chat room at the moment enjoying that. Can't kick them out, but anyway, that's fine.
All right, I've got the Traveller Australian Lager sponsored beer.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. This is the full strength, 4.2%. So I think this is new. They had the mid strength one. I imagine it's very similar, but let's give it a go.
Yeah. I haven't tried any of the Traveller beers yet, so
I haven't.
I'm keen to give them a go. So
that's good. Let's get a little screenshot. You got your can there? Let's see if I can.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Man, this light behind me is just awful.
Yeah.
All right, I took like 50 screenshots.
Cool. So I've had a few beers from Adzi's ABV Voyage down south. So we gave about 3 cartons of hiker beer for him and Joel to take on their road trip. And I think we got about double that back. So which was very generous of all the different breweries they went to. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, that, the beer you're drinking now, is that you had that on tap when I went there for the first time to do the Adam beer, I think.
Probably did, yeah. Yeah, it would have been about that stage, yeah. So, so we brought it back because everyone was sort of wanting it again. So, we try and sort of mix up our hazy IPAs. So, because that seems to be our best selling line, so which is good, but we always try and do something new. And we actually just, can't remember, we just ordered some hops today, a new experimental hop. So for our next hazy IPA, so, and then we'll bring Cloudscapes back in the lead up to Gabs, because we've got a stand at Gabs in Brisbane this year. So, seeing I got 52, so in the hottest 100, we thought we'd better bring that back for Gabs.
So that beer is not always available?
No, it's really weird. Like we got 52 in the hottest 100 and we brewed 5,000 litres of it.
Yeah, wow.
Mental. So I always say to people, if it was actually, you know, votes per liter of beer, we probably would have been number one. But
yeah,
anyway.
True. Punching above your weight.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what we do here at Hiker, so we try to anyway. So
was the one you're drinking now, is this the first time it's gone into cans? Because I can't remember it being in cans before.
No, we've all our beers always go into cans. The only one that probably doesn't is our mid-strength lager, because it doesn't really move in cans. So it's more for the tradies that come in. And our canning machine is a little bit difficult with like mid-strength beers. So we sort of try and avoid that, but we definitely do like wee little. So that's the only mid-strength that we put in cans, because we always try and do like, higher ABV beers, because it's, you know, it's part of our sort of business plan in regards to leveraging our 350,000 excise rebate. So it seems to work well. So
yeah, well, we've talked about that on the podcast before. It's kind of what it was designed for, in a way, to help kind of brew pub size companies be as experimental as they want with a beer without reaching a crazy price point. And so you've got some offset against the disadvantage of having a smaller production facility. So for companies like yours, it works perfectly well. For bigger breweries, probably, doesn't work well at all, but.
No, exactly. Yeah, even like we've been doing a few contract brews of late, and then yeah, just trying to get the price point for other smaller breweries that don't have a canning machine. So we've been doing a few where, because we've got our own canning machine to try and give them stock for their venues, but it's a fine balance. Even like the inputs into like canned beer is quite expensive. Like the pack costs,
Oh yeah,
it's
and the
up
labor.
to like, and the labor, that's what I mean. It's like up to $20 just for the packaging material before you input liquid or labor on it. And they sort of come back and balk at the price, and you go, unfortunately, that's what it is. So
Yeah,
sorry,
I remember
Charlie.
when we used to cost beers at Black Ops. It used to just blow my mind. Once you act like factor in the actual time we used to take on like the staff beers and those real small volume ones. Blew my mind how expensive it was to make. Like it was easily double just any other beer. So if you think about that, if you're a small volume brew pub, you're basically paying at least twice what it costs for a decent sized brewery to make beer, and probably, I don't know, a quarter of what it costs for a massive like a CUB or something like that to make beer.
Yeah, totally. There's definitely economies of scale, like the labor of just brewing, like, it takes you, one shift to brew a beer, whether it's, 1,000 liters or, 6,000 liters. So there's definitely, there's economies of scale in regards to that. But yeah, we just try and be a bit agile. We don't pay ourselves a lot, so that's fine. So it's not, as my daughter just about crashes the car, so that's
Oh
great.
wow,
So.
okay. To flip your camera around, this could be better content than what we're producing
Yeah,
here.
it
I was slightly worried there for a minute, but I got off track.
it's all right. No, she's
Is
fine.
everything okay?
She's, yeah. No, she's just not used to driving my car. She just sold her car because we're off to Europe for 3 weeks shortly. So,
Oh, nice.
and she ended up selling her car because we've just moved. Literally, like within walking distance of the brewery, which is good and bad.
What?
So, pretty bad actually. But anyway, so it's
Well.
but yeah, so it's yeah. So and yeah, she gets the bus to work and things like that. So I just said, well, I hardly use my car anymore, so might as well get rid of yours and share a car for a while. So she's got enough spending money to enjoy Europe. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, that'd be fun. When are you going over there?
Fly out 24th April. So yeah,
Oh,
so
wow.
heading to Munich first, and then go to Springfest, and then she's going over with one of her friends, and they're heading off to Rome and Paris. I've already done those sorts of things, so I'm heading
Yeah.
to Czech Republic to check out Pilsen and do a bit of
Oh,
hiking
yeah.
through the Czech Republic, and then we'll catch up again in where we're catching up, Brussels. So
Oh yeah,
catch up
nice.
again in Brussels, and then we're supposed to run a marathon, but that's been a bit ambitious because I haven't really been
What?
training. So it's the great breweries marathon. It's
Oh, that's what I remember this, yeah.
you run through three breweries and can actually sample the beers along the way. So, but I'm only doing the 17K now. So, and
What's the
then.
furthest you've run before?
I think probably half marathon. So yeah, so 21. So yeah, I'm just, it's not a race, it's a hike, so it'll be fine. So I'm just gonna take my time.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And then spend a bit of time in Brussels, and then we'll head to, my ex-wife is Danish, so Jo, my daughter, wants to go to Denmark. So had to check that off with the ex-wife. So we're heading there and then going to McKellar beer celebration. So, and Joe keeps going, this is not a beer holiday. I went,
It's a work trip
mate,
now.
it's a work trip. So yeah, do that, then head to London, and then head home. So it'll be good because I haven't had a decent break for quite a long time, with building the brewery and stuff like that. So it's sort of, just need to sort of take a bit of time out and enjoy life a little bit rather than 24/7 working on hiker, so which has
Yeah.
been pretty mental the last, few years. So,
For sure. And
yeah.
she works in the brewery too, right?
Oh, she helps.
At
Yeah,
the
she
taproom.
helps on weekends at Tap Rooms. Yeah, so she's got a 9-to-5 job with Queensland Health, and then but yeah, she's right into a beer. So and now she wants to be a beer judge. So
Yeah, right.
I got like Daniel training her up, and we're heading to Babs, Brisbane Amateur Beer Brewers, next Thursday. So she's gonna like go and learn a bit about judging beer and stuff like that. But yeah, she's right into it. She wants to take over the brewery when I die, hopefully not too soon. So, but I
Yeah.
keep saying, don't, yeah, don't think, running a brewery is a walk in the park. So anyway, but yeah, she does love it,
No.
and I think yeah, she's obviously very proud of what Daniel and I have achieved. So yeah, she's a big supporter. So
Yeah, that's good. So is
yeah.
it gonna be difficult to run the business without you guys there?
It's kind of, yeah, so we're actually hiring our first employee from next week, so which will
Oh,
be
wow.
good.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's a big step for us. So Dougal is starting. So he's currently working as a teacher aide at a primary school, so he's taking a term off. So yeah, so and he'll yeah he'll come and he's a home brewer, doesn't necessarily want to be a brewer, but loves the industry and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll just give that a try for a little bit, and we've got a lot of regulars and stuff that'll help out, and my other daughter and a few other bits and pieces, like for some of the busier events that are happening while I'm away. But yeah, hopefully it'll work out. So I want to try and move to also, like with Dougal here, doing less in the business and work on the business. So we've got some big plans, and at the moment, cleaning floors and cleaning toilets, it's probably not the best use of my time. So yeah, we're just going to try and balance that, and just with cash flow and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we're definitely keen, because we got some big plans happening in the next month or two. So which will be good.
Nice. Anything you want to announce exclusively to our massive audience?
Well, we're going to do an equity crowd raise, fundraise.
Oh,
So, well,
okay.
we're going to put the toe in the water. So I've been working with the guys at Birchall.
Yeah.
And we're just going to do a very soft launch, do an EOI for 1 week just to see if there's an appetite, because I'm a bit nervous about it. I don't want to invest too much money into it, because obviously lots of VAs happening, the economy the way it is, and things like that. So we just want to test the water in regards to is there an appetite out there? Because what we want to do, there's three main things we want to do. One is put a shipping container kitchen in, so that's another revenue stream for the business. So that's one. Do the beer garden. Also put a small distillery in. So then we can do RTDs, because we can't like produce RTDs at the moment, and we're just going through council at the moment to get our decibel reading increased. So then, because the grand plan is to actually then have ticketed live music here. So I
Nice.
think yeah, because we've got the space to do it. So if we can have sort of up and coming bands coming through and actually have it at the brewery. Because it's all for us, our model is all about, over the bar sales. So if we can actually do that and generate, put 300 people in here to watch live music on a Saturday night, ticketed event, that'll be good coin through the door. So
Any interest in a aspiring jingle player, writer?
yeah. Well, you're pretty good at it. That tune's very catchy.
Right. More on that later. I don't know if I'm ready to perform it live at your brewery, but I might need like
Yeah.
three of those cloud skates to get
Yeah,
me through that.
exactly. Yeah. So, but no, but it's exciting. So we're just working through, the pitch for that. And the whole thing is, it was interesting. Like the virtual chat was interesting, because they're going, "Oh, what's your exit strategy? Are you going to sell to CEB or Lion?" I'm saying,
Yeah.
I think those days are done. I said ours is actually about trying to generate enough revenue with no debt to then be able to give dividends. So that's sort of the model that we're sort of we're wanting to, because we don't ever intend to get like massive, like wholesale is not our main game, and
Yeah.
I think wholesale is way too hard anyway.
Oh,
There's,
100%.
there's just no money in it. So we just want to use our competitive advantage, which is at the size of our venue and our beer.
Nice.
Oh.
We've got a surprise guest.
See you, Derek.
What's happening? Are you at dinner?
Oh, yeah, unmute yourself.
You're muted. Hello, everybody. You're muted, Hendo. They can probably hear us, but we cannot hear you.
No, can't hear you, mate.
I hear you. Hello, everybody.
Can't
Cannot hear what
hear.
Hendo is saying.
Hello.
See you,
Hello.
Hendo. Love it.
Have you,
He
has
brought.
he got an apron on?
It looks like it must be doing some sort
Yeah.
of fancy beer event of some description.
Yeah. Did Wee Little win? No, he doesn't know.
I don't think
Can't
he. I
hear
mean,
him. Oh, he's gone.
I assume he couldn't hear us and we couldn't hear him, but he looked very
Yeah.
happy, didn't
He did. He must.
he?
Yeah, it must have been a few good days judging. So.
Right. That's probably the first time the podcast has been broadcast live to people eating dinner. I think.
In Korea.
And definitely first time in Korea,
It's funny, yeah, because
yeah.
Hendo took a couple of our beers over, because as a judge he got some free entries. So he said, "Oh, do you want me to take some of your beer? Korea's not our target market, but it's like, sure, why
No.
not?" So, yeah,
Well.
he took Wee Little, and he also took one of his birthday beers, Twilight. So yeah, so we figured they were probably the best two, because we madly put them in just after Royal Queensland Beer Awards. So it was like, oh well. Like, let's put our one of our best, which was Wee Little, and obviously his birthday beer. So we thought we'd split it. So
Well,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go.
if it goes well, you can use that on your crowdfunding as a bit of a proof
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. Well, that was the whole thing. Like, part of our strategy was to push hard for Gab's Hottest 100. So getting 52 was amazing. And also, we threw the kitchen sink at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards. Brewed way too much beer, but it was all about our last year of being in the category for best new brewery. So
Right.
so it paid off in the end. So, and then jagged the brew champion brew pub as well. So, which was
That's amazing.
a bit of a added bonus. Yeah,
You had a hell of a run. Are you sending beers to the Abers?
So yeah,
Yeah.
we're sending all our gold medal winners from Queensland, so Royal Queensland. So, yeah, we didn't enter Abers last year, so this is our first run at it, because we wanted to sort of dial in our brew house a bit, because there is a trophy for best new entrant, so which is, the Gary Shepherd trophy. So
Yeah.
we just figured we had five gold medal winning beers, so we just sent all five.
Yeah.
To Ada, so we'll see how we go there, and
Nice. And are
then
you going down to that?
I'll be in Europe. So
Oh, you will be, yeah.
Daniel's going down, so he's
Okay.
judging, and then he's
Nice.
going back down for the dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but also, what other competition we've entered? Oh, we sent Wee Little to World Beer Cup, so in
Oh,
Vegas.
nice.
So it gets announced on the 24th of this month. So yeah, so. Anyway, because Wee Little's sort of been our little golden child. It was the first beer we ever brewed, and yeah, it just keeps winning gold. So it's
That's
bit
the
of
mid
a
strength, yeah.
mid strength, the light Scottish ale, which is so we picked a random style to commission the brew house, in case, because it's not a massive malt bill, so if we had to dump it, it wasn't going to cost us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's been it's a good story. So we've had to keep it on. It was only going to be a one-off, but now it's part of core range. It probably outsells our mid-strength lager 2-1. So
Really?
we um and are about. Daniel's quite keen to get rid of the mid-strength lager, but I sort of think you need to keep it for the tradies that come
Yeah.
in. So it's a
I
bit
would
of
have
a
thought
catch
so.
22.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a beer that you just need to have on, even though it's not a massive seller.
Yeah, I think that would be the right insight, but Yeah, that's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that style of beer to outsell a mid-strength lager.
No, we've been really surprised. So, but
I
yeah,
guess
but
your audience is
it's
probably fairly crafty, aren't they?
yeah, pretty
Your
much. Yeah,
customers.
we don't get a massive amount of tradies in. We get a few, but yeah, it's very much yeah locals and definitely lots of craft beer lovers. So it's good to
How
have
much
like a mid.
mid-strength is Adam Schell drink? Because that could be another factor in this mystery.
No, his go-to is Horizon, so our
Right.
best-selling beer, and that may be why, because
Yeah.
he drinks a lot of
Wonderful. Jeez, just thought of that just then. It's not a
Yeah, because
coincidence.
yeah, it's not a coincidence, but yeah, he devours that pretty well. Yeah, that's like as soon as you walk in, you know it's a pour because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Nice.
no, but it's like yeah, Horizon is our well and above our best-selling beer. So we've actually just relayed. I've just because I did the initial label for it, and now yeah, so I finally got our graphic designer to actually do a better label. So the next batch has got the new design. So because we're gonna that's the beer we're gonna push for. Gab's Hottest 100 for this year, I think. We're going to move to something, yeah, our most popular beer that's around all year, we're
Wow,
thinking
interesting.
at
That's
this
why
point.
would you do that if you got such a good result with the other one?
I don't know. It's still early days. We're still
Yeah.
umming and ahhing. So, but it seems to, well, it ended up getting Horizon got 70th in the hottest new beers of 2023. So we actually
Right.
thought Cloudscapes was eligible for that, but because we had a tap
That's right.
takeover at Soapbox
Yeah.
on the 22nd of December, and it was on there, they went, "Oh no, it was actually in, 2022." I went, "Oh my God, we thought about that." So anyway,
Yeah.
8 days, well, 8 or 9 days, who would have thought? But anyway, because
Yeah.
it would have got third, I think, in the hottest beers of hottest new beers, but anyway, we were happy with the result.
Yeah, for sure. You got some su support there. So I guess you can channel that wherever you want to. But
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
hard to it is I remember one of the lessons of Black Ops was it was quite hard. We had goat one year as our it was like clearly our most Well, we had Pale Ale as our flagship beer, and then Goat came on and sort of overtook it. And so one year we decided to just say, okay, we're going to go all in on Goat because we feel like this beer is going to overtake Pale Ale. And it did, and it went really well. But then we had the similar thing happen with East Coast Haze, where East Coast Haze became our most popular local beer. And we were just in two minds about which one we should push. And we kind of thought East Coast Haze would do better than Goat because it sold more. But Goat just proved to be sticky and it just did much better, and East Coast Haze didn't do as well. And
Yeah, I
ultimately,
think
over
it's
time, kind of dropped off.
yeah, and I think it's probably yeah, like those real craft beer lovers, they like those bigger beers, so they're the ones that probably vote more than the average regular that comes in. So
Yeah, it could be that.
I don't know. Yeah, we're still well, still got plenty of time to think about it, but that's
Yeah.
what we're sort of thinking at the moment. So yeah,
All right,
we'll see.
let's get onto the news. So there's not a huge amount here, but the first one is one that you can talk about because it's the IBA have got a board meeting coming up, and they've
Yep.
got elections open. And I saw
Yeah.
your name on the list.
Yeah. So, the AGM's coming up, and there's a few things happening there. So one is, they're wanting to change the constitution, which is, I think, a lot of it makes sense. That so there's
Yeah.
no cap on, liters of, liters produced. But from my understanding, it's caused a bit of controversy in South Australia because it would allow coopers to join the IBA, and a lot
Yeah.
of the smaller breweries in South Australia aren't very supportive of that because they see coopers as like nearly like a multinational that have tap contracts, that sort of keep them out. So I sort of get
Right.
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that, and then it's also increasing the number of directors, I think from five to seven. So there's actually So under the current constitution, there's two vacancies. If the new constitution gets through, it'll be four. So yeah, so I've decided, stupidly maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. I'm put my hat in the ring, to nominate to become a director. So yeah, there's 11 nominations, and I think the most pleasing thing for me was that there was, out of the 11, five were from Queensland.
Yeah, I could
So
see five from Queensland here. It's amazing.
which is really good, because the current board is, I think, mainly made up, I think they're all Victorian and one from maybe ACT, I think. So it's been very southern state focused. So I think,
Yeah.
yeah, so I think it's good. I think, you know, and there's a good bit of diversity in the mix. Like Annalise from Matic, I think she'd be good.
Yeah.
And there was another lady from, I think, Coastal Brewing, Helen Black, I think her name is.
Yeah.
So I think it's good, because the IBA, I think at the moment, I don't think it's lost its way, but I think it's just got no money, so it can't do anything. So it's focused on lobbying federal government to get funding, just like Wine Australia,
Yeah.
because Wine Australia gets $20 or $22 million a year. The IBA gets nothing. So they've seemed to have, the IBA has sort of bunkered down and not actually, like, cancelling BrewCon, all these events, which I sort of get, because they're after the big prize, which is government funding. But you sort of need to be able to also promote craft, you know, independent craft beer. It's like, I think, you know, cancelling BrewCon was a mistake. I think, you know, like, they bought Good Beer Week and haven't done anything with it. And I know it takes resources to put all these sorts of things on, but it's sort of that there's a, you gotta do everything. If you look at the Brewers Association, I watched the, from BrewCon, the president of the Brewers Association, you know, they've got multiple arms. They've got, and they've been around forever though, but they got a publishing arm, they got a, you know, home brewers arm, they've got events arm, they've got, you know, obviously their lobbying of government and things like that. So, but they've obviously got multiple streams. So I think the IBA just needs to broaden it out. And that's why next Tuesday at Hiker, Adzi and I, we have many conversations over a few horizons. Because, like, there hasn't really been a Queensland chapter of the IBA for a while. So I know there was a conversation, you know, with when Kylie was on the pod a month or so ago. So, like, from that, because Adzi was talking to me about, let's start a separate association and things like that. So we reached out. We've had some meetings, and we're next Tuesday at Hiker. We're putting on some beers and pizza. I think we've got like 45 people coming, which is really pleasing. We actually want to start talking about, do we want to revive the Queensland chapter? And for me, I've got lots of ideas of what it should be, but I actually want to hear from everyone to go, well, what do you want? Is it education, you know, for brewers, or is it events, or is it, you know, lobbying Queensland government for, you know, to sort of ease up the artisan license, or whatever. So yeah, so that should be exciting. So yeah, we've got a lot of people, lot of people coming to that. So which
Very
is
good.
pleasing. So there's an appetite, and seeing five people nominate from Queensland for the IBA board, yeah, actually sort of says that, you know, people want to do stuff, so in Queensland, so it'll be good.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, if you're a paying member, I suppose you have to be to vote, don't you? A brewery member, then you can vote before the 28th. Vote one Phil or any of the other guys, because there's some great people in there too. It's not
Oh,
just
no, some
five
really good
random
people,
people.
yeah. That's the main, like, if I get up, I get up. If I don't, I don't. I'm not gonna die in the ditch over it. But yeah, so yeah, have a look at all the nominees and vote for who you think will do a good job. I'm time poor as it is. Like, adding another adding something else to my list is, like, I just felt that it was probably time, you know, because I was sort of, you know, because a lot of, because, you know, for those that know me, I sort of reinvigorated the Royal Queensland Beer Awards, and like the advisory group, a number of them asked me to join the advisory group to come back because I got made redundant from the RNA. And I basically said, yeah, I don't want to have it. Like I'm very passionate about it because I sort of started it, but I just there's too many wounds there to actually go back and actually, and do stuff. I said I'm happy to provide advice, but I definitely don't want to do that. So Daniel's got his little passion project in Hiker, which is beer judging. I don't want to be judge beers. I just don't find that enjoyable at all. So my passion will be, trying to help the industry.
Nice.
Maybe.
Very good. Well, I'm rooting for you. And you might find out once you get into those meetings that it's very hard to run an association with volunteers and not much of a budget, is my
Yeah,
suspicion.
I
But yeah.
exactly. Having worked at the RNA, which is the board is all volunteers and all the stewards and everything like that are all volunteers. It's hard herding cats.
Yeah.
It really is. So, and that's
Yeah.
where like on next Tuesday, it's particularly the Queensland chapter. It's like, who's got the appetite to actually help? So if we want to do these things, it's not going to be just me and Adzi. Like we actually need people to actually put up their hand and actually, volunteer and actually, and take on some roles.
It'd be interesting to get a sort of a temperature check on how people are feeling about where the industry's at, because I know it's kind of a tale of two, extremes at the moment. There's the companies that are doing very badly, but there's a lot of breweries that I think are doing pretty well. Sounds like you guys are doing quite well.
So we're profitable. Like it's hard work. That's main. I've had many a conversation with a lot of different breweries. A lot of people reached out to us just to understand our business model, and what we've done. And as I say, you've got to be in control of your own destiny. You've got to have a good venue, and we want to improve ours with the shipping container, but also be vertically integrated. Like you've got to buy your own canning machine. You can't have a mobile canner come in, because they're slugging you $9 a carton. So you've actually, the much as the more you can be vertically integrated and actually, keep your costs low. We don't store any beer off site, and we've got a big enough cold room for that. We just, the whole planning around this place was around, let's try and do everything ourselves. It kills you, but it's the only way to survive.
No, you're right. The not having any staff, that's the real big one. If you can run a brewery with two people, you can do it profitably as long as you can get people to come and drink the beer. But once you have staff, it's a really, really, really big step.
Yeah, it's massive. And I'm freaking out just even putting on someone part time. It's just like, it's a massive step for us, particularly coming into the quieter months. But I've forecasted everything. We're pretty confident, but there's always stuff that we'd want to buy. Like we want to put in a fireplace for winter because we've got no insulation. So it's like, how do we heat this place up? So there's another like, $6,000 putting in a fireplace. There's just all these bits and pieces. So, and that's, and then it's like even going through all this minor DA change with council, like that, the application fee, because we've already got an approval for a shipping container kitchen, which was outside. We want to move it inside. We've now had to like pay $4,000 application fee to council, plus the town planner fee, plus all these other, like re new drawings, this, that, and the
Oh,
other. So it's going to
God.
cost us like $8,000 for bureaucracy. It's the world we live in, unfortunately.
It
So it's
is.
all
It's
red
that's the
tape.
game. It sucks. But sounds like the plans are good. And I think, having a you're really blessed with the way your venue is, it's kind of it's not you spend money on the right things. You make good decisions around the venue and the equipment in terms of like how fancy you got, so and especially the equipment, because like it's easy to say, you need to be vertically integrated and have your own canning machine, but it's pretty hard to get a decent canning machine without spending too much money.
Yeah, and we were
But you
lucky
guys,
because we got the proto one of the prototypes from Black Fox, which is basically built, at Sumner. So, and he's been great. Like we've had issues with it, but the beauty is he's 15-minute drive away, so he'll come and replace a part. He's basically I think by the time it's finished, we'll probably have a brand new canning machine. Like it just keeps changing parts over. Like things fail, and he goes, and he's a really smart dude, and he keeps going, yep, replace him with this, replace him with that. Yeah. And you know, it's been good because we've had, you know, and we've had a couple of breweries fly up from down south who were having trouble with their machines, so they've come and done some canning days with us. So we've looked after Alex. Because a lot of, you know, you get these home brewers that create, you know, build a brewery and sort of don't really understand how canning works. And they think it's plug and play. Canning is not plug and play. It's down to
No,
so
there's a
many
lot can go
variables,
wrong.
carbonation, you know, temperature, a whole range of things. So,
DO levels and all this. Yeah.
yeah, so, but yeah, but the more you can do yourself, the better. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it's, yeah, I think we've got the right model. It's just like now sort of capitalizing on the asset and, you know, new revenue streams, which is not wholesale, but, you know, like food and things like that. So, which is going to be
Yeah.
another nightmare, but I think it, you know, it's what we need because food trucks are an absolute nightmare. So, and you
All
make no
right.
money out of them.
Right, number two, good drinks to sell Atomic brand and brew pub. So did you see this one? So this is
Yeah,
they
it's
got a brew pub
interesting.
in Redfern, I think it is, and
Yeah, it's interesting because,
yeah.
you know, like, yeah, so because good drinks, I don't know how they're traveling, but because they were, you know, they nearly bought Stomping Ground or merged with Stomping Ground. And I know they were looking at Ballistic before they went into VA. So they were definitely looking at, you know, East Coast options, and Atomic
Yeah.
was one of their sort of part thing. So whether they're re completely retracting from the East Coast, I'm not
Well, no,
sure.
because they
So,
just opened that Matzo's brew pub at the sunny coast.
yeah, have you been there yet? It's epic.
Oh, is
I love
it?
it.
No, I haven't been there.
Yeah, I went up there over Christmas, New Year. So it's really good. The funny thing is at the back of the pub. So I walked into the public bar. They still got like the TAB going, you know.
Yeah.
The Keno and stuff like that. I'm going, well, where's that? I went, oh, you need to go round the back. And it's like this massive open shed. And it's
Huh.
got a big hill at the back. But they've actually turned that into a kid's play area, like on the
Wow.
side of the hill. So it's really well done. So
I almost went there. We drove to Hervey Bay for a festival a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of didn't really actually Google how far away Hervey Bay was. And I was thinking, yeah, we'd stop there for a beer on the way up, and then it was like a 5 hour drive or something stupid. So I'm like, we didn't need to get
like,
there.
no, but yeah, no, that's man, yeah. So Matzo's, it was actually quite clever what they did with Matzo's is when they bought the pub, they sold all the poker machines and that basically funded them buying the pub. So it was actually quite clever in how they did it. So.
Yeah, this one, I haven't been inside there, but I've sort of gone past there, the Redfern Brew Pub. It's kind of in an area in Sydney where there's loads of breweries, like not far from there. And
Yeah.
it kind of never really, I don't know, that brand just never really sort of took off, did it? It was kind of like going to, it was back when like there was the Pirate Lifes and the Bolters and I suppose Black Ops to some extent with like these real hoppy beers that were going really well. And they kind of had this and it was going to be their like hoppy beer brand, I think.
Yeah, it was more of their experimental stuff, wasn't it? So it was, yeah, it had its moment in the sun, but the sun didn't last very long,
Well,
so.
I don't really remember anyone really ever talking about any of those beers being like particularly good. Like I didn't really ever see them anywhere or hear about
No.
them. I mean, it says in here that the brew pub was kind of profitable, but not as profitable
Yeah.
as last year. So I suppose as a venue, it's probably still making money, but maybe it just wasn't worth the hassle.
Yeah, exactly. Because what? Yeah, because, and that's, I mean that, you know, what is that annual brewing capacity of 250,000 liters?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, so that probably they could go semi large scale, but not that much. Yeah, so yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, whether they're just consolidating or looking at other opportunities in the market, I don't know.
Yeah, I
So, but
wonder
yeah.
whether it's a reflection of that style of beer or if they just kind of missed the mark with that particular offering. I think it's probably the latter, but
Yeah.
I do wonder if that's sort of, you know, the hoppy IPA type beers and hazies have kind of peaked, and people are kind of moving
Yeah.
back to the kind of traveler type beers, or the easier cervezas and that kind of stuff.
Well, definitely, like our two biggest sellers are Hazy Pale and Hazy IPA all day long. So it was like, because we didn't have a Hazy IPA on for a while because Hendo mucked up our production schedule for wanting to have two beers for his birthday. So we
Selfish
actually
fucker.
had to, I tell you what, yeah. And but anyway, so we didn't have a Hazy IPA on. And then last weekend, we finally, put on Hira. And we got smashed all weekend because people just wanted it. So it was like one of our totally random, one of our busiest weekends ever.
Well, I think it is a
So
it's not necessarily a style that's going away. It's kind of like it's big it's sort of stayed in the craft scene as opposed to going into the mainstream,
yeah,
more than
exactly.
people probably thought.
True. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I don't think it's the yeah. That's true. Like a lot of people that came in were the craft beer, nerds rather than, the everyday punter, that are going into Dan Murphy's, whatever, and
And good
looking
drinks
for
have never
something.
been really good with that. They've never been particularly crafty with their offerings. It's always, like their beer is good and their brand is great. They do an amazing job.
Yep.
But they never really got too far into the whole crafty experimental side of things. As far as I can recall, all their
And
beers
that's
are pretty
probably,
easy drinking and
yeah, and that's probably why they did that side project, which was Atomic, because I think it's initially Atomic was just the name of a beer, and then
It was, yeah, it was their pale ale, I think, yeah.
that yeah, and then they branched it off as a completely new brand,
Yeah, but there wasn't
yeah.
really that much room for that beer. Like they had just the normal Gage Roads single fin, which was a pale ale anyway, I think. And then I think the Atomic was like a bigger or slightly higher ABV or maybe hoppier or something.
Yep.
But yeah, they just didn't seem to really nail that part of the strategy. Like even Stone and Wood, around the time had the counterculture thing, and they were quite relevant with the beers they were bringing out. Bolter have always been good with that. But Good Drinks just didn't really seem to really nail that part of the strategy. So it probably was
Do
just
you
a
think
bad fit
that's,
for them.
yeah, do you think that's also like because they're on the ASX, like with their investors, like do you think just to stay middle of the road rather than trying to be more edgy?
No, I think they were just very good at doing what they do. Like they were quite an efficient operation. We went and did a tour of their brewery because I was looking at the software they were using, and they run a pretty tight ship. That venue over there is amazing. The brewery is pretty cool. It's very a hell of a lot of volume comes out of a pretty small space. Like I can't really remember going to a brewery that does that kind of volume that isn't like. It's there's no square inch of spare room there,
Okay.
they've always been a good company to watch because they're basically the only listed legitimate craft sort of brewery, and so they're really the only company you can look at to openly see their strategy, openly see their financials.
Yep.
So I used to follow their stuff all the time, even before we started the brewery, and I just think they've been very, very good at executing on almost everything,
Yeah.
except for this. But then, I guess you could make the argument that this part of the strategy is not that important to them. They
Yeah,
may
it's
not be
not.
as relevant to the craft beer fan, but they're still selling 20 million liters worth of beer or however much they sell.
Yeah,
And
exactly. When they like to mean 20 million liters out of Gage Roads, yeah, versus what was that, a quarter of a million or something liters that they could actually produce at
well,
Atomic.
that was
So
capacity, but they're probably producing
capacity,
nowhere near that.
they would be producing nowhere near it. Yeah, I haven't seen an Atomic beer in Queensland for goodness knows how long. So.
And then you got to think, when we're talking about before with the excise rebate that you get, that's a big benefit to your venue. It's a massive problem for companies like Good Drinks to have this brew pub in Sydney that competes with companies like yours, but doesn't get the benefit of the excise rebate. Because it's already chewed up in their normal operation,
Yeah, correct.
so you need to be basically like a brew dog, like a professional runner of hospitality venues to kind of pull that model off. And I don't know, maybe this one just wasn't one that
Yeah.
fitted well into their plans.
I know BrewDog's brewing a lot of beer at the moment, so they seem to be doing quite well. So, yeah, they're really starting to hit their straps. I think they're finally, with their other venues down south. So I was talking to, who was I talking to? Oh, Jimmy Nails, so from Netherworld, because they normally have their big pinball competition at BrewDog, but they can't, in their production area, they can't do it this year because they're too busy. Because they were, we nearly had, nearly got them over the line to have BPAC at Hiker, but we didn't have enough room supposedly, so which I find unbelievable. So it must be a lot of pinball machines. So, but we're
Well,
having.
I went to the BrewDog venue in Melbourne at the Pentridge Prison. It's fucking cool as. So they do a
Yeah,
good
they
job. The one
do.
in Brisbane's always been good. The beers are
Yeah.
good. The hospitality is good. The food's good. So they do it. They do it well.
Yeah, no, good on them.
All right. Number three, Gabs pledges 100,000 cash back to support craft beer industry. That's the headline. But if you read the article, it's a bit of creative
It's all
copywriting,
about,
I think.
yeah, because you've got to basically buy your ticket before, what, the 18th of April. So,
It's an early bird. It's an early bird incentive.
exactly. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Gabs goes this year, particularly like Melbourne moving, from away from the IBA dinner. So,
That'll be a hard one to pull off, I think. I just think it's got such a big connection with, like, you're basically all the breweries and brewers are there anyway. I've never been to Good Beer Week or the ABAs and not go to Gabs. Like, you always just go because you're there anyway.
It's
But
going to
how
be a
many
big
people
hit.
will actually make the special trip down for Gabs? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I think that the one thing they have done well this year is for Brisbane is rather than having two sessions on the Saturday, moving there's one on the Friday night and then one on the Saturday. So actually splitting it over 2 days. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Good for
But
the
yeah.
good for the punters, but it makes the makes a bit harder for the exhibitors to do 2 days at
Yeah.
Gabs.
Yeah, but at least it's only sort of one session on each day, so it's
Right.
not too bad.
But you have to stay there,
Because,
don't you? I mean, well, you live in Brisbane, so it's fine, but
yeah,
people
well,
who have to
everyone,
weigh up.
but everyone, I suppose you'd get accommodation anyway. Nobody's sober enough to drive anywhere after Gabs.
So you've got your own stand because you can only do the Gabs one for 1 year, can't you? The
Yeah,
newbies one.
so yeah, we, yeah, so we, yeah, we've, they peppered us for a long time because I don't know. For me, I like Gabs and I like what it's about, but you're sort of preaching to the converted. So you're actually putting beers in front of people that already like craft beer. So it's, and by the time they take their cut, you're not making any money out of it. So you're actually losing money.
Oh
So
it's hard to make money at a festival.
it's, yeah. So yeah, any festival's hard to make money. So yeah, but we ended up deciding that we'd do it and we'll just see how we go. So yeah, it'll be good. Yeah,
Oh,
and
it's always fun at least.
as long as I don't get thrown out like I did last year, but that's fine.
All right, well, let's talk about that off
We
air. All
won't go
right.
there.
And finally, Sydney Beer Week event submissions are open. So the only reason I put in this in here because I'm just reminding our listeners that Hendo said a few months ago that there was no such thing as any good beer weeks left in Australia, and we got dead wronged immediately after. Well, he got dead wronged immediately after, and there is such thing as Sydney Beer Week, and they're currently open for submissions if people have ideas of events.
So who runs Sydney Beer Week? Is
Pete Ansley, it's its own standalone thing. Pete Anstey, Managing Director of Sydney Beer Week. So yeah,
it?
it's a standalone thing that's kind of like one of the last ones surviving. Well, I think it is the last one surviving.
Yeah, because that's one of the things, Adji and I have been talking about with the Queensland chapter of the IBA is because Bruce Vegas has sort of died, and whether we
Well, the
try and bring
Beery's
that
died
back.
as well. Remember the Beery's,
Yeah, the
and then there
Beery
was
side,
beer and cider and.
but like IBA has the Good Beer Week, they bought that business and actually That should be a national sort of franchise, like not franchise, but that Good Beer Week Queensland, Good Beer Week, Sydney, and do stuff like that. So I might as well start trying to leverage that brand and actually really promote, indie beer.
Well, you guys did well
So
with the Bermuda thing, don't you? Then there's a few of those little sort of
yeah.
small ones that happen. So
Yeah,
look, it can work,
it can
but
work. Yeah,
yeah.
Bermuda is like, we've done three Bermudas and they've been our three best trading days. So by a country mile. So
Yeah, I guess the
they're
question
definitely.
is it do you need some sort of overarching association to help you do something on a bigger scale, or a brewery is just better self-organizing and doing little things themselves and keep all the money for themselves and
Yeah, exactly. That's true. But I think it's more just that, like Bermuda seems to work. It's good, like particularly, the buses between, it costs us a bit to put on the buses and things like that, but it's well worth it. And people love it. So yeah, small things, I think, small and agile is better. Like, and that's why I think Gabs have done, I think they'd be nervous about ticket sales. So I think that's why they've probably, because everyone's wanting, leaving their purchasing decision to the last minute. Because like even last year, we were a bit bullish and we were going to have our own sort of craft beer festival hike. And had the spreadsheet, had how many tickets was break even, all this type of stuff. And like after about 3 weeks, it was like, I've been sold 16 tickets. And it's like, this could actually put us under if we don't actually sell the, I think it was 220 tickets, I think it was break even point. So in the end, it was like, this is like, yeah, it was a bit bullish and went, let's just scrap it now. Like, let's cut it down. Because it, costs us a little bit. Regards to some southern breweries had already bought tickets, like their flights and stuff like that. But it was just like, it wasn't worth the risk. And then everyone goes, oh, like, I was going to buy a ticket. You're going, can you buy, it's,
Yeah, it's hard. Events are very, very difficult.
It is.
Super
It is.
difficult.
Yeah. It's. It. I think the craft beer festival is. Yeah. It's a dying breed. So I just can't. I just. I think the only one that maybe, like Crafted. I've never been to Crafted, so I'm keen to actually go down there this year and even maybe potentially have a stand. But yeah,
Crafted
there
was
seems
always the
to
best one that Black Ops did. That was always our best one by a
be.
mile.
Did the what clip did they take from sales? Was the usual 50? Can't remember.
I don't think it was that high. I mean, we used to make money from it. I know that much. But we were
Okay.
also the other than the big Grandad Jack's bus, we were the highest selling stand. The two or 3 years I did it, we were the highest selling beer
Okay.
stand. So we were doing pretty good volume at those things. So it may not have been the case for something like Gabs, though. We never did well at Gabs just because there's so many options and you just buried at the back somewhere. We didn't have the budget for these big activations and stuff, but we crushed Crafted. And I don't know if it's the case now. Probably not. It's probably not the same. I think the brand's not quite the same, but
No, it's interesting, but yeah, but I know they get, because I did some research and they get a grant from Tourism Queensland. They get about 20K a year from the government, so that helps fund them. Because I was having a look at that in regards to, like if we started a, like Brews Vegas 2.0, but the problem is you've got to be running at least 2 years before you can actually apply for a grant. So, because then I noticed Crafted actually gets a grant from, Tourism Queensland. So obviously doing things right. So.
Yeah, they were very good operators too. They're very organized. We used to do collab beers for the musicians and stuff. Like they were pretty onto it.
That's right. That was British India. I remember.
British India and the Delta Rigs we did one for, which went really well. But yeah, that one was always really, but it was more of a, it was sort of, it was a half music festival, half beer festival. It really, to be honest, probably wasn't really about the beer at all. Most of the people there want to hang out down the beach, go to a festival, listen to some music, drink seltzers and cider. We used to say cider was our biggest selling drink at the festival.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and And that was the same with like beer and cider when it was at the showgrounds. It was pretty much just a music festival that
Exactly.
had craft beer there. So yeah, so
Yeah.
you got to sort of get out of your lane of just focusing on, you know, the craft beer fanatics and do something a bit different.
Well, you
So
got to do what works. I mean, Gabs has always worked pretty well, and it's that they do a very good job. Like Brisbane Gabs last year was so much fun. It was every bit as good as any Gabs I'd gone to.
yeah.
So hopefully they can keep it going. But I'm not sure if I would go to another Gabs as a just a punter, just because I think the novelty probably has worn off at this point a little
Yeah,
bit.
I think yeah, the market's maturing, everyone's maturing. It's yeah, it's not, you know, the weird and wacky beers, it's a novelty for a few years and then it sort of, yeah, it sort of dies off. That's what I mean, like, yeah, it's, and the problem is now there's so many beers accessible, you know, it's not like, you know, you can sort of go anywhere now. There's so, like, there's 40, I got the hop on brewery tours like map, and there's like 46 breweries or something within sort of, you know, like the Queensland, sort of Brisbane, Gold Coast area. So it's crazy. There's so much variety out there that you can do on any day. You don't need to go to a craft beer festival. You can just go to the bottle shop and
True.
pick up something a bit different. So
True. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. You should let us know how you go, because I'd be interested to know how that Brisbane Gabs
yeah,
goes.
I'm actually, yeah, because we definitely ummed and ahed about it, but in the end it was like, okay, let's try it. And I spoke to a lot of other breweries and they were saying, oh, that we're going to do it every third year, things like that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. So yeah, but obviously the push for this cash back, you know, you get $20 cash card, that's obviously, I think, just to drive early sales. Yeah, just to sort of shore up their finances.
Yeah, some creative copywriting there, supporting the craft beer industry, but that's
Yeah.
okay. You got to do what you got to do. Can't knock the hustle. All
Yeah.
right. We've only got one Phil Reacts, because I had one, and
Yeah.
I didn't bother looking for any more because I figured there'd be a bunch of questions, and I didn't want to take up too much of your time. Do you have the wait? I might have to give you the ability to share. Oh no, you can share. Oh no, there we go. If I give you the ability to share your screen, are
Yeah.
you comfortable sharing your screen and clicking on this Phil Reacts thing in the show
Yeah,
notes?
for sure. Yeah.
So you got to share all. So when you say share your screen, you got to check the box to share audio.
Hang on. So is that desktop one? Is that?
Give that a go. See if you can see the Google. Bring up the Google Doc and whatever you can see there.
Is that?
There we go. Did you share
Oh,
audio?
yep.
Did it
And
ask you?
then, hang on, where's that?
It asks you as soon as you share it. Yeah, I don't think you can do it after you share it. You might have to cancel and
Oh, stop share and
yeah.
then try that
When you click the
again.
button, it gives you like a little checkbox. It's actually quite confusing. Did you see it?
No, is that a Mac thing? I don't know.
Don't
No, I don't
just
know.
play it, see
Well,
what
let's try
happens.
it and see what happens.
Yeah, that under Phil
So,
Reacts, that
oh,
one.
yep.
Right. Right, press play. See, can you hear it? Let me see if I can hear it.
Yep.
Oh, I can't hear it. Okay.
Oh, you can't hear it?
No.
Oh, can
Yeah, there's a
it?
thing.
Yeah,
So if you click share screen, let me
and
make
I'll
sure the
go out
options.
of that. I'm just trying to, I'll try that again. So if I share screen, it doesn't. Oh, hang on. Share sound. Here we go. I found it.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
Here we
hang on.
go.
Just got to put in my password, which is weird.
Password for Zoom?
My Apple
Ah,
and my
okay.
Mac. Anyway,
Here we
let's
go. All
try it.
right.
Here we go.
Phil Reacts one.
Ding and
Okay, okay.
handle there the message of the mic. Talking about beer, they've got the insight.
But Hendon's got a special knack. You see, he's got a segment that'll make you agree. It's called Hendo Reacts to Beer Guru's Delight.
Beer Guru's Delight, nice.
Yeah, that's good. Glass with Hendo, let
the beer flow. Yeah, there we go.
Get his thoughts, let his reaction show.
Throw oh, yeah.
Reviews to beer news, he's got it inside. Raise your glass with Hendo, it's gonna be alright.
Okay, alright, you don't have to play the whole thing. So
that's hilarious.
Isn't that amazing? So this is 100% AI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this Suno thing, Suno.com or Suno.ai or whatever, I literally went into there and I put in no more than like a couple of sentences saying, I've got a podcast with a guy called Hendo. We have a segment where he reacts to things, create a song based on that. And it produced that instantly.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
AI is amazing. I use it all the time. Like, it's crazy. Like, even I put in this whole heap of stuff the other day. Like, we're getting a video done for the equity crowdfund thing.
Yeah.
I went, here's what I want to do. Write me a script for, 2 minutes of 2 minute video. Maybe you have to tweak it a little bit, but you just like kept putting stuff in and it just like saves so much time.
It's so crazy. We're definitely all going to be out of a job. All right, cancel your screen share and then I'll do some. You got a few more minutes for some questions?
Yeah, for sure.
This is a bit of a lucky or unlucky dip. As you know, we put a thread in the group and asked them for questions, and I don't read them until we're doing the show live, and there could be all kinds of weird and wonderful shit in here, but let's see what we get.
Yeah, let's have a look.
All right, so we've got question number one from Adam Shell. Question, why is Phil cheating on me?
They've got more than, you got 12 listeners. We probably only got like one or two on our pod, so that's fine.
Well, do you want to give it this is a good opportunity to give it a plug.
So we're up to episode 3 of Pour It Out. So yeah, so we do it every Tuesday afternoon at Hiker. I think it's just an excuse for Adzi to come and drink beer. But yeah, and we're just sort of trying to keep it relevant to beer news. And their talk, what do we talk about this week? Like some random beer style from Ukraine and things like that. So just try and find interesting topics to talk about. Adzi's got about 60 million other ideas and podcasts coming up, so it'll be interesting.
Nice. All right.
He's an ideas man. So
yeah. Well, we've got 11 listeners, not counting you. So there's 11 people that can go out to Pour It Out.
Yeah, exactly. We might actually get 13. So
exactly. All right. Paul James, anyway. When is the East Coast Roast Hiker collab coming?
Let's make a coffee beer. No, we've actually been talking about doing a coffee beer. So, keen to chat. So
nice. All right. Well, just make sure I don't have to commit to like $50,000 of coffee like Hendo did when he won Gabs with his coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, we're actually talking about our winter range, our winter seasonal. So that actually came up in regards to a coffee beer. So definitely keen to have a chat about that.
Very keen. Well, if it helps, my roaster, who's now full-time with me, is also a brewer and came from a brewery before roasting. So, yeah, he'd be happy to chat.
We could come down and learn how to roast beers and he can come up and help brew the beer. So, anyway, let's chat about that. That's cool.
Sounds good. All right, Louis G, if we don't find any other brewery crazy enough to brew our next pod-inspired nectar, would Phil and the guys at Hiker jump in, bite the bullet and save the day? I feel like you've done enough between the podcast beer and Hendo's two birthday beers.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Like Adam beer is nearly gone, so we're very happy with that. So we've only got about 5 cartons left. So Admittedly, we put two of them into the beer hug boxes. So we're moving a lot through our good friends at Beer Hug. Anyway.
Nice. Well, I mean, it was never going to be a volume seller, was it, with that style?
Exactly. And it was, that's what I mean. And yeah, like barrel aged beers in a, you know, in a sort of discounted beer box is always good. So,
yeah. I think a red IPA called Smooth Operator, inspired by Carlos Sainz, is the most recent idea.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I like. But also red IPA, probably not a huge seller. So always good to keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, we've got Ornith on at the moment. That was one of Daniel's from when he had Ornith as his gypsy brand. So his little passion project. Yeah, it measures okay, but not massively. So.
It's a great style, though.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite styles. But, yeah, unfortunately, just people love it, but they don't seem to buy it. So... anyway, because that was like always like with Black Ops Code Red was, you know, one of my absolute favorite beers of all time. But you know, and always Code Red for core range.
Right.
It just never, yeah, it just didn't sell enough.
No. Everyone used to say Code Red for core range, and then but they didn't see the finances. We didn't sell any of it.
Exactly. I feel your pain now.
All right, Darren Gittins, how's the beer hug box going?
Yeah, good. So we're the top flight brewery of the month for Beer Hub. So we're sending out what's it? There's 12 cans in the box, and we're probably up to. We just sent the first 25 out today. We've got another 60 to go out next week, and probably we think we'll probably at least hit the 100 mark. By the end of the month, so which is good. So it's good for us, particularly because we brewed a lot of beer for Royal Queensland Beer Awards. So it's a good way of just moving some stock and turning beer back into cash. So it's pretty good value too. Like I think it's I can't remember how much a box is. It's I think it was like $80 or something for the box, and there's about $130 worth of value in it. So. Yeah, but yeah, no, it's good because
you sound like you're going back to your Ecker days in the Showbag Pavilion.
Yeah, exactly.
$130 of value. Nah.
Yeah, but it's actually been good because we're quickly running out of room in our cold room. We were stacked to the roof, so it's actually good to actually see like 25 boxes go out today. It's great. Goodbye.
Yeah,
give me some room because like even this morning we canned some, what did we can today? Tuic Forest. And I'm going to Daniel, I said, I don't know where we're going to fit this in. And then thankfully the truck came and picked up the 25 boxes. So yeah, there's another 60 going out next week. So yeah.
Nice. Adam Scholl says, have we had any results from Korea yet? And then Luigi says, yes, Hendo got in the piss and he's dancing Gangnam Style on the streets of Seoul. That could be accurate. I mean, it looked a bit more classy in the video he just did with us.
He did, but also, what did he say? Was it on the pod last week where he said he was staying near the statue of Gangnam Style or something the hand thing? So yeah, hopefully, exactly. I haven't seen anything there. But yeah, I think the results for is tomorrow. I think from the actual beer awards, not Hendo's Gangnam Style. Stuff. So, you know, we're very curious to see, how one of his birthday beers went, and also Wee Little. So the judges were pretty. Like he did talk about it last week, but I went through and had a look at it. There's a lot of like, there's not many Korean judges. It's all international. Mm. So yeah, which is pretty impressive. But he only took. Yeah. It's interesting because he only took a 4-pack of each. So whether they actually entered them in the beer awards, they were just roadies. For his
personal consumption.
Going, yeah, it was like only 4 beers. He goes, yeah, that's all I need. I'm going, okay. So I'd be interested to see how they judge trophy rounds. Obviously, they don't do trophy rounds. So anyway, first past the post.
Nice. All right. Douglas Grimley says, is brewing a Gabs beer worthwhile for a small brewery? That's a pretty good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. Not if it's called Hold the Pork. Anyway, that was our one last year.
Yeah, I remember. I remember trying that.
That was a bit of a. Oh, it was. Yeah, it was an out there beer, but that's because we brewed that with, and like Dougal, who asked the question, he's part of. He's actually the guy coming to work for us.
Oh, nice.
So, but he's also part of Brisbane Amateur Beer Brewers.
Yeah.
And that's like when we sort of let them loose in regards to the style for last year's beer. And that's where we ended up with the sweet and sour rice lager. But it sort of gave them a few more parameters this year that it actually has to be, you know, if it actually goes well, we can actually brew it again without being ridiculously expensive. So, because if it goes well, then yeah, you want to be able to replicate it. So I think it's worthwhile. Like, get your name out there. But
yeah.
As we said before, I think yeah, it's a bit of fun. And like, we're actually being a bit more strategic with it this year too. So we actually brewed the base beer on last Saturday with the home brewers, but we're going to split it into two. So we're actually going to take off, it's a porter, we're going to take off half the beer as normal porter, and then we're going to put other stuff in for the Gabs beer. So then we've only got like maybe, you know, 400 litres of it. So we're not doing a massive, you know, 1,000-litre batch that's going to sit in the cold room. We've still got a keg of Hold the Pork if anyone wants to buy it. Happy to sell it.
Put it in the hug the beer box or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, keep looking at it going, we should empty that one day. And it's like, and then it's like, because actually it's in a 20 liter keg, and we were short on 20 liters for rural Queensland. And I went, oh, I should dump that. I'm going, but we'll probably have to, you know, wash that keg about 1,000 times to get the Szechuan pepper out of it. But anyway,
chuck it in the barrel.
It's just sat there. I'll give it to Boyd and like send it off to some other brewery so they can deal with it.
All right, last question, Ben Taylor. So Ben works for Traveller. He came to the roastery today and delivered me these beers personally. So shout out to Ben, absolute legend. Will the Hop Nation Mountain Culture collab receive a cease and desist notice from Asahi? So have you got this up on your screen?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. I have.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
The Grouse Southern, it's pretty good. Fishing IPA.
It was interesting. Yeah, I don't. It's not dissimilar, but it's not really. You know, I think it'll be fine.
I think it will be fine too. Yeah, I mean, it's not really. I mean, they obviously just ripped it off, but. I feel like it's different enough to get away with it.
It's different enough to, yeah, I can't see how it would. The one that really intrigued me was Mountain Culture and Stone and Wood, their collab. So, you know, Asahi versus probably, you know, the independent craft brewery, even though they're not part of the IBA. I thought that was an interesting collab, so.
Oh, maybe they're looking for someone else to acquire.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it was interesting. But anyway, I think they'll be fine. I actually thought it was quite well done, the Hop Nation Mountain Culture one. So it's similar, but not close enough.
Yeah, yeah, you might be right. I mean, and then if they do, it's a limited release beer. So does it really matter too much? Probably not.
Probably not, yeah. Lawyers at 10 paces, it'll be, you know, by the time you actually get to it, it'll be all chip, you know, fish and chip wrapping.
Exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's it. That's all we got. Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. Thanks for filling in for the boss man.
Yeah. Look, really appreciate it. Awesome. Okay. Catch up soon. Let's talk about a collab beer.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. And fill us in on how you got the Queensland meetup thing next Tuesday, because we'd be interested in, if you want to just send us through an update, we'll say something on the podcast. We'd be interested to know what happens.
I think Hendo may be back, so he might be coming. So,
yeah, cool.
So he might be able to do it. Cool. Awesome.
Legend. Thanks, mate. See you soon.
See you, mate. See you. Bye.